Hello and welcome. Yes, welcome to Madrid en Inglés. Madrid in English, a tour, a colorful educational tour of our capital, Madrid, and of our region, La Comunidad de Madrid. Learn English with me, Richard Vaughn, using Madrid as our base of operations. Let's go. Hello and good morning. How are you today? Welcome to a new edition of Madrid in English, Madrid en Inglés. Sunday morning from 10 to 11 o'clock. And here I am with you on a Sunday. My job is to make your Sunday a bit more pleasant. Amenizar el domingo por la mañana. Yes, because tomorrow you have to work. Today is your last day of freedom until another working week. Although many people work on the weekends, there are many people in Madrid and in all the big cities, or every city around the world. Ambulance drivers, healthcare personnel, doctors, nurses, policemen, military, and airline pilots, helicopter pilots, firemen. Oh, a lot of people, me. A lot of people work on the weekends. I'm working on the weekends on a Sunday morning. But welcome to Madrid en Inglés. So we're going to continue talking about English. And I'm using my life in Madrid as the starting point, punto de partida, starting point for speaking English. It's the pretext to speak to you in English. And in last week, I was talking about my early experiences with the gastronomy in Madrid and in Spain in general. And it was interesting because my first real exposure to Spanish cuisine, usamos la palabra francesa para cocina, la cocina española, Spanish cuisine, was basically through los restaurantes de menú del día. The menu of the day restaurant format, they say, I'm not sure if it's true, was promoted by the Franco regime in the 1950s or late 1940s. An economical way for people to eat out in the menu of the day. Okay, I'm not sure if that is true. But it's my favorite type of restaurant in Madrid and in Spain in general, my favorite. I like. And during this program, if I continue every Sunday into the future, fijaos, digo into the future, o sea, de aquí al futuro, entrando en lo que es el futuro. Por eso digo into. If I continue every Sunday into the future talking, I will come back to restaurants, gastronomy. But not only talking about the menú del día and talking about the typical dishes and the typical restaurants, I'll talk about a more, let's say, higher standard restaurants. But to tell you the truth, my favorite restaurants are the menú del día, really. And I was introduced intensively to this in my first year in Spain as a student. Everywhere in Spain, anywhere, in Galicia, in the Basque Country, in Catalonia, in Valencia, in Andalusia. I remember in Andalusia, I was hitchhiking, como siempre, en ese primer año, viajando por autostop. Se hacían entonces, en aquel entonces. It stopped abruptly in 1975. People stopped hitchhiking in 1975. But this is 1972. And the spring, winter and spring of 1973, the academic year 1972-73. I remember one moment, Sharon, I was traveling with Sharon, a fellow student. And we had traveled, I believe, I'm trying to remember, I think we traveled from Madrid to Mérida and Mérida to Seville. And Seville to Algeciras. We crossed to Tangier. We spent two nights in Tangier, and then we returned to Algeciras. And on the outskirts of Algeciras, a British man in a very nice car, a man with money, picked us up with his beautiful Vietnamese wife. And they took us to their home in the Campo de Gibraltar, between Algeciras and La Línea de la Concepción, just north of the gates of the city, the town of Gibraltar. And we spent the night there. We had dinner with them. We spent the night there. And the next morning, he took us to the gate of Gibraltar because Gibraltar was not open in that time. In 1972, in 1973, Gibraltar was closed. Francisco Franco had ordered the closure of the gates of access. It created a problem for people in San Roque and in La Línea, La Concepción, because many of these people went to Gibraltar to work, in domestic work or office work and things. But for quite a few years, maybe 15 years or something, I don't really know. I'm going to ask. Yeah, how long? ¿Cuánto tiempo estuvo cerrado Gibraltar bajo Franco? I don't remember how long it was. 13 years. All right. And they opened it in 1979. Acción más de España. I don't know when they opened it. Lo cerraron en el 69. So, but he took us to the gate and we looked in. Then he took us to the beginning of the highway after La Línea Concepción to go along the Costa del Sol. And a truck driver picked us up and he took us all the way to Motril. So we passed through Benalmádena. We passed through Marbella, which was quite small at that time. This is 1972. We passed through Malaga, of course, Torremolinos in Malaga. We passed through Torre del Mar all the way to Motril. Our destination was Granada. And so the truck driver, his destination was Almería. And so he could not take us to Granada, so he dropped us off. He dropped us off in Motril. And we were hungry. It was lunchtime. And so we found a restaurant, sat down, and the waiter came, and it was a menu of the day restaurant. And we ordered, but instead of giving us a menu or a carta or a piece of paper with the three selections for the first course and three selections for the second. And for the first course, I don't know, he said tortilla española, guisantes con jamón y espinacas a la crema. Fine. He said, de segundo, he said, medio pollo asado, filete de vaca y pepa. He said, excuse me, pepa. Sorry? Pepa, pepa. I had no idea what he was saying. Finally, he wrote it down, anda, pith espada. So, on the menu of the day, many times, even today, they still say what is available, and you listen. But of course, in Andalusia, it can be a challenge. Pepa, it means pith espada. Okay, so that was my rude awakening of the Andalusian accent, of course, which I like. But in any case, my first year in Spain, my first semester in Spain, I'm still in 1972, in the fall of 1972, I was getting to know the city, moving around, getting to know the city, but basically eating menus of the day. And the menus of the day were those typical things, sopa de ajo for the first course, sopa del cuarto de hora, huevos a la flamenca, huevos al plato, huevos con chorizo, espárragos con mayonesa, espinacas a la crema, judías verdes con jamón, guisantes con jamón. I have a list in front of me. Arroz a la cubana, pisto manchego. And of course, it's the sopa de cocido. And then, of course, cocido. And many times, a paella mixta was the first course. And in the second course, I normally ordered one of three different dishes, filete de ternero or filete de vaca, I remember. Pollo al ajillo, which was new for me. I had never tried it. And medio pollo asado. I remember medio pollo asado. Okay. And so it was good. I enjoyed it. And I remember the two waiters in Risol on Calle Altamirano, Jose and Vicente. Jose was very serious and Vicente was young, probably 17. He said, filete de ternura, instead of filete de ternera. He was from Cifuentes in the province of Guadalajara. And I've never been to Cifuentes. I've been to Trillo, where the nuclear plant is, but I've never been to Cifuentes. And I've been to Entre Peñas and Buendía, which is very near. In any case, this was a very interesting period of my life, and I enjoyed it very much. And I finished the semester. I had five subjects. I spoke to you about them 2 weeks ago. Lengua Española with Ignacio Álvarez Vara, very good professor. And then I had Historia de la España Imperial, which with Tomás Rodríguez Cano, very good. I had Cultura Española with Damaso Álvarez Monteagudo. Interesting guy. Interesting guy. He was, I don't know if it's true or not, he claimed he was a member of the clandestine anarchist party, etc. But in any case, he was a good guy. He had I'm not sure if I told you last week, but he had a Jaguar. I think I did tell you. He had an English Jaguar with the steering wheel on the opposite side. And he trained his German Shepherd to sit straight in the passenger seat as if the dog were driving the car. Cool. He lived in a very nice flat, what you call an attico, penthouse. And so I decided, hey, I'm going to be a member of the anarchist party too, if I can live like this. And I had Carlos Bosonio, a literary critic, poet, essayist for the La Generación del 98. So I studied Unamuno, Pío Baroja, Ramón del Valle Inclán, Ramón María del Valle Inclán, Antonio Machado, Miguel de Unamuno, and Azorín. And I'm forgetting one or two of them. Ángel Ganivet. He was a good teacher. He was a good teacher. And then finally I had Javier Solana, the ex-foreign minister of the European Union and ex-secretary general of NATO, and an ex-minister of of certain portfolios under Felipe González. And he was my teacher for the history of science that semester. That was in the fall of 1972. And we had two or three classes per week with Javier Solana. At that time, I believe he was about, I don't know, how old is he now? Let me find out. I don't know. I think he's probably about 80 years old now. He was born in 1942, so he's 82, right? He's 82? Let me see if I can find his age. Yeah, he's 82 years old, which means I was 20, he was 30 when we met. He was 30 years old. At that time, he was a member of the clandestine Socialist Party. But he was also a professor, con cátedra, I believe, in physics, de física. And his English was good, not perfect, but his English was very good. And the subject was the history of science. And so we approached science from a humanistic angle, and it was very, very good. He was a wonderful guy. I never had contact with him after that. After that semester, I didn't see him again. And but later, of course, I recognized him immediately. In any case, it was he was a very, very good teacher. We had a good time. Very nice man. Very nice man. And so that was my academic experience, let's say. And I spent that semester going around, traveling around Spain, despite the rain, with different girls who were not, I didn't have relationships with them. We just traveled together because it was easier. And then in December, together with three of my fellow students and Ignacio Alvarez-Vara, the professor of Lengua Española, the five of us decided to take a trip along the Mediterranean, and to go. My intention was to go from Madrid to Jerusalem and back. And so we divided up, and we traveled first to Barcelona. And then from Barcelona, we took a ship to Genoa. Now, to go from Madrid to Barcelona, Ignacio went by train, but Bob Whitaker and Lee Beck, two other students, hitchhiked, and I hitchhiked with Sharon as well. I remember a young couple picked us up just outside of Zaragoza and took us to Lérida. The moment we got into the car and they began driving, the young driver said, "By the way, my girlfriend and I prefer to wear helmets when we're driving, simply for our safety. So if you don't mind, don't be surprised if we put on a helmet." And the boy and the girl put on American football helmets. And we drove from Zaragoza to Lérida in La N1, which was only two lanes by the time. The National 1, it was only two lanes, dos carriles, one in each direction. And they were wearing football helmets. Okay, American football. They dropped us off in Lérida, and we walked to the outskirts of Lérida in order to continue to Barcelona. And a jolly, chubby Catalan picked us up, and he took us to Barcelona. Jolly means jovial, jolly, for he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow. And chubby means rechoncho, alegre rechoncho, jovial y rechoncho. A Catalan man, he took us, Catalan, and he asked us if we had any experience, if we had ever tried pan con tomate, pan tumaca. And I said no. I said, "Oh, okay." And he stopped in Igualada, and we had pan con tomate. We spent 30 minutes enjoying. It was good. It was my first experience. Okay, it's bread with tomato and salt. No, I don't remember oil, but I imagine there was olive oil as well. And then he took us to Barcelona. And we met our other friends in the Plaza de Catalunya. We walked down the Ramblas to the port, and we caught a ship to Genoa. And from Genoa, we split up and hitchhiked to Pisa, then to Florence, and then to Siena, and then to Assis, and then to Perugia, Assisi, in English it's Assisi, like in Italian, to Perugia, then to Rome, and then to Naples, and then to Brindisi, and we took a ferry from Brindisi to Greece, to the western coast of Greece. And then from the coast, we went to Dionina in the Pindo Mountains, yes. And then we went to Kalambaka, Meteoro, and to Delphi. In Spanish, you say Delfos. To Delphi, and finally to Athens. And then from Athens, we took a ferry to Mykonos, one of the islands in the Aegean Sea. And then back to back to Athens. And then we split up. Three of us went to Israel, and two went to Turkey, to Istanbul. But I'll have to come back and tell you more about that after the break, when we arrive in Tel Aviv, three of us. But I'll be back to talk more about it in just a moment.
Esto es Onda Madrid.
Simplifica tu vida con la cuenta digital de la Comunidad de Madrid. Puedes descargarte al instante el carné joven, consultar tu beca de estudios. También puedes acceder a tu pensión no contributiva, gestionar los trámites de tu empresa o el certificado de familia numerosa y solicitar la ayuda por natalidad o becas comedor. Todo en un clic y desde cualquier dispositivo con la cuenta digital. Financiado con fondos Next Generation. Comunidad de Madrid.
Como región cardiosaludable, desde la Comunidad de Madrid te damos un consejo de corazón. Realiza actividad física cada día. Corre, nada, anda a buen ritmo, monta en bici, baila, sube escaleras y reduce el sedentarismo para ganar salud. Los hábitos saludables previenen enfermedades cardiovasculares y mejoran tu salud. Comunidad de Madrid.
Tu fin de semana con Onda Madrid Todo Música. Todo Música. Nos adaptamos a tus planes variando el ritmo con nuestra música.
En la madrugada del viernes al sábado y en la madrugada del sábado al domingo repasamos aquí.
Marcamos el ritmo más positivo y animado para tu noche de fin de semana. Onda Madrid, Onda Madrid, Todo Música.
En las últimas horas de la madrugada desde Onda Madrid Todo Música.
De camino al amanecer con el mejor chill out. Ambient, sonidos electrónicos.
Tu fin de semana con Onda Madrid Todo Música.
Onda Madrid Todo Música con Pedro García de Val.
Vuelve la Feria de Empleo para Personas con Discapacidad de la Comunidad de Madrid.
Más de 100 empresas buscan tu talento. Te esperamos en la nave de Villaverde los días 11 y 12 de noviembre.
Regístrate en www.empleoydiscapacidad.es.
Cofinanciado por el Ministerio de Trabajo y Economía Social. Comunidad de Madrid.
Chinchón, con su icónica plaza, escenario de grandes películas de la historia, el túnel de Zacatín bajo la singular Plaza Mayor de Colmenar de Oreja, el Museo de Cine de Villarejo de Salvanés, el impresionante Palacio de Goyeneche de Nuevo Baztán, primer proyecto urbanístico...
Imposible contarte en tan poco tiempo todo lo que puedes descubrir en las villas de Madrid. El mejor estilo de vida del mundo. Comunidad de Madrid.
Onda Madrid, 101.3 y 106 FM.
Hello and welcome back. Okay, now, welcome back to Madrid in English, pero ahora estoy en Tel Aviv. I'm in Tel Aviv in Israel, not in Madrid, but don't worry, I'm coming back to Madrid very soon, and we'll continue talking about Madrid, but for now, I'm between my two semesters, the fall semester and the spring semester, at Southern Methodist University's offices in Madrid, in the Instituto de Cultura Hispánica, located on Avenida Los Reyes Católicos, and in between the Hospital de la Clínica de la Concepción, or the Jiménez Díaz, and the Museo de América, right there. Today it's called the No sé qué Iberoamericano de Cultura. It has a different name. But in any case, three of us, Bob Whitaker, Robert Whitaker, myself, and Lee Beck, we flew to Tel Aviv, and from the airport, we took a bus up 800 meters to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is quite high. It's higher than Madrid in altitude or elevation. And there we spent about 3 days. Lee returned to Madrid, flying from Tel Aviv to Madrid. But Bob and I stayed, and we made a decision to skip the second semester. So, to skip means saltar. El segundo semestre académico. You see, in the United States, the university system is based on academic semesters, not on academic years. Here, it's changing as well. And so, Bob and I stayed. So we spent time in Jerusalem. We spent some time along the Sea of Galilee. We spent some time in the on the shores of the Dead Sea. I remember a problem I had. We stayed in a kibbutz, Ein Gedi. And there I had a problem with a goat. I was reading in my backpack. I had a novel by, well, I had a book by Unamuno. It's called San Manuel Bueno Mártir. San Manuel Bueno Mártir by Miguel de Unamuno. And I was reading it in the kibbutz. I was sitting in a fold-out chair, silla plegable, under a toronjo, bajo un toronjo, que es un toronjo. Es un árbol que da pomelos. So it's called toronjo. Because in Latin America, pomelo, no se dice pomelo, se dice toronja. All right, and the tree apparently is called el toronjo. And I was sitting under a grapefruit tree, in English, grapefruit. No sé por qué decimos grapefruit, fruta de uva, pero eso es pomelo, grapefruit. And I was reading the book, and suddenly, whoop, I lost control of it. And I looked up, and a goat, un chivo, a goat was eating my book. The goat was eating Miguel de Unamuno's book. And I grabbed the book, but it was impossible. I grabbed the horns, and it was impossible. Finally, I grabbed one horn with my left hand, and with my right hand, I grabbed the book. And I pulled and pulled, and boom, finally, I freed the book from the goat, but the book was destroyed. So, I couldn't continue reading San Manuel Bueno Mártir. But later I read it. But, about 10 years ago, on my own radio program in Vaughan Radio, I mentioned this moment. And within a week, five different listeners had sent me a copy of San Manuel Bueno Mártir. All right. Now I have five copies. All right. Well, I gave one away. Now I have four copies at home. But in any case, we spent about almost 2 weeks in Israel. And then I returned. I began my return journey to Spain. Bob, my friend, Robert Whittaker. He's famous in, well, famous. He's well known in the United States now. Robert Whittaker, Whittaker. Whittaker, con K-E-R, W-H al principio. Robert. You can look him up in Google, in Wikipedia. He's a distinguished person in the world of, I guess, anti-psychiatry. He's against many of the practices in the world of psychiatry, especially the type of drugs. I don't know. I'm not too familiar with what he does, but he has become very renowned and very well known. But he stayed in Israel, and then he flew to Turkey and stayed in Turkey for 1 month. But me, no. I flew from Tel Aviv to Istanbul, and the same day I caught a night train to Milan from Istanbul. It's a long ride through Bulgaria and Yugoslavia. Then I hitchhiked from Milan to Genoa, and in Genoa I caught a train and went from Genoa to Barcelona through the south of France. And then from Barcelona, I took a different train from Barcelona to Madrid. At that time, the trains from Barcelona and from Zaragoza entered the Estación de Chamartín, not Atocha, like today. I remember that very clearly. And Atocha was not prepared yet to receive trains from Zaragoza. And so I was very tired after 6 weeks traveling around the Mediterranean, Italy, Greece, Israel, Turkey, Bulgaria, Yugoslavia, Italy, France, Spain. I was exhausted, and I got to I got to the Chamartín station and I caught a taxi. And I said to the taxi driver, I said, take me to a pension. Pension hostal. In the center of Madrid, please. And he took me to Pension Gracia. Pension Gracia in Calle Luna, or Calle de la Luna. Yes, behind Callao. Back in that area, behind the Palacio de la Prensa. And it was interesting because Pension Gracia belonged to Gracia de Triana. Now, perhaps you're not familiar with who Gracia de Triana is, but she was a cantadora de gran renombre. Let's see, Gracia de Triana. Yes, here we are. Yes, atractiva también. Yes, she died in 1989 at the age of 69. Yes, fue cantante española más conocida como Gracia de Triana por su barrio. All right, dominó géneros que abarcan desde la copla a flamencada hasta el cante grande, destacando en diversos palos del flamenco. Wow, palos del flamenco. That's a new language for me. But in any case, she was very nice. She was probably 55 years old if she died at age 69 in 1989, that means in 1973, February 1st, I would say 1973, that is 16 years before. So she was not 55, she was about 53. She was maybe 53 years old at that time. And I spent only one night there. No, I spent two. I paid for two nights, but I only spent one night in the Calle de la Luna in Pension Gracia. 2 years later, I would stay in, I would go back. I'm not finished with the story of the Pension Gracia in Calle de la Luna. So I went back 2 years later. But the following day, I went to the offices of SMU, Southern Methodist University, because it was too late for me to register for the second semester. But I decided, with my parents' permission, to stay in Spain for the second semester, simply living. But the question was where? So I went to the offices of SMU, and Leticia, the secretary, helped me find a place to live. And so they put me in contact with a family living in the Barrio de la Estrella, Calle de los Astros, creo que número 13, Barrio Estrella. And so I called and I spoke, and I noticed that the mother had a South American accent. I couldn't tell what country she was from. But she invited me to go see the house, to see the room, because in essence, I was going to rent a room in the house. And so I went to visit her, and she was from Chile, chilena. She was probably about 40 years old, maybe. Yes, perhaps. And she introduced me to her two sons, Gonzalo y Emilio. Or Emilio Gonzalo. Emilio was about 15 years old or 16, and Gonzalo was 13. All right. And they had a small house. They had a three-bedroom house. And so I assumed that Carmen, the mother, slept in her bedroom. Emilio and Gonzalo shared a bedroom, and the third bedroom was for me. Okay, fine. So, I reached an agreement. It was 10,000 pesetas for 1 month, because after 1 month, she had promised the room to another person. So, I could only stay for 1 month. But she told me she could help me find a place after that. That she had another, she had a friend who could rent me a room. So, with the agreement, I went back to Pension Gracia. I paid for that night, but I didn't stay there. I got my luggage, my bags, and I went back to the Barrio La Estrella in Madrid, to Calle de los Astros, número 13, planta 13 también, creo. I'm pretty sure. 13. Bad luck, huh? But no, it was good luck. And I went up, knocked on the door or rang the doorbell, and she let me in, and I went in. I saw a very, very attractive girl sitting on the sofa, on the couch. Había un tresillo ahí. I saw this incredibly attractive girl sitting on the couch. And I went to the bedroom and I left my things. And I decided to go back out and chat with this specimen of a beautiful girl. And so I sat down in the armchair. She was sitting on the couch. I introduced myself. Hello, hello. I assumed she was visiting because 3 hours before, the mother, Carmen, had introduced me to her two sons. So I assumed that Carmen had two boys. So I assumed that this young lady was a visitor. And so we struck up a conversation. And I asked her, I said, well, ¿dónde vives? ¿Vives cerca? I said, somebody, ¿vives cerca de aquí? Do you live near here? And she smiles, said, yes, very near, en esa habitación. Vivo, duermo con mi madre, para que tú puedas tener una habitación, para que te podamos alquilar la habitación. Resulta que, it turns out, así se dice resulta que, it turns out that Carmen was divorced. And so and the father was living in Chile. And so she was living with her three children. So I realized that I was going to live under the same roof with this beautiful girl. And this beautiful girl, by the name of Carmen also, although in the family they called her Tati, became a very good friend of mine. We never had a relationship, but it was very... The mother warned her, said, no. No salgo con este chico porque acabarás en Texas. And so it was funny. And so I lived there for 1 month. But I'll come back in just a few minutes with a lot more. Don't go away.
Vuelve la Feria de Empleo para Personas con Discapacidad de la Comunidad de Madrid.
Más de 100 empresas buscan tu talento. Te esperamos en la nave de Villaverde los días 11 y 12 de noviembre.
Regístrate en www.empleoydiscapacidad.es.
Cofinanciado por el Ministerio de Trabajo y Economía Social. Comunidad de Madrid.
Restaurante J, cocina vasca, un referente de buena mesa en Chamberí, con la sencillez y honestidad de la cocina de siempre, donde comer bien, sin tontunas, con familia, amigos, tu cuadrilla, verduras, guisos de temporada y pescados salvajes al centro de la mesa. Restaurante J, una cocina para siempre, a 50 metros de la Glorieta de Bilbao. Reserva y disfruta.
Si quieres saberlo todo sobre cine, series y lo que se tercie, escucha Última Sesión.
Post-it o post-it.
Post-it.
Pues te falta una T.
¿Ah, sí?
Post-it.
Ah,
de cuélgalo, post-it. Ya.
Presentado por Carlos Honorato y Manuel Martínez Velasco. Son los mejores y lo saben.
En cuanto a este eslogan que tenemos, que somos el mejor espacio de ficción audiovisual,
esto es como los que venden el turrón más caro del mundo o probablemente la cerveza mejor del mundo.
Analizan hasta el último detalle.
¿Hay alguna película sin música?
Seguramente.
Pero pocas.
Los pájaros de Hitchcock.
No tiene.
No tiene ninguna música.
Los sábados a las 11 de la noche y los domingos a las 10 en Onda Madrid.
Los soportales y balconadas de la Plaza de Segovia de Navalcarnero. El majestuoso castillo de Manzanares el Real, rodeado de enclaves naturales increíbles como La Pedriza. El castillo de la Coracera de San Martín de Valdeiglesias. Sus playas en el pantano.
Imposible contarte en tan poco tiempo todo lo que puedes descubrir en las villas de Madrid.
el mejor estilo de vida del mundo. Comunidad de Madrid. ¿Qué
pasará? Rafael vuelve a Madrid con su gira triunfal. 20 y 21 de diciembre en el Wizzing Center. Compra tus entradas en rafaelnet.com y El Corte Inglés. Rafael en concierto.
101.3 y 106 FM. Onda Madrid.
Hello and welcome back. All right, we're back for our last segment, our last little 15-minute segment of Madrid en Inglés. And I'm in February 1973, and now I live in Barrio de la Estrella. That's very far from the Paseo del Pintor Rosales. And I'm living under the roof of, well, I'm living with a very nice family, Chilean family. Well, Chilean Spanish, because the father was Spanish and the mother was Chilean, and they were divorced. And I spent that semester doing basically two things, reading and playing the guitar. Now, when I moved to Barrio de la Estrella with this Chilean family, The older son, Emilio, played the classical guitar, Spanish guitar. And he played very, very well. Very, very well. And so I became interested in the classical guitar. And so I went down to Acaba Baja, went down to Arco de Cuchilleros and the... I can't remember the name of the street there, but it's... and there I bought a guitar. And I spent probably 2 to 3 hours a day gaining agility. It's very different playing a classical guitar than playing an electric guitar. First of all, with the electric guitar, the neck is very narrow. And the strings are steel. And you use a pick. You don't finger pick. And so I had, and with a classical guitar, the neck is wide. The strings, well, three of the strings are nylon and not steel. And you finger pick. So I had to learn a little bit. But of course, I knew how to play the guitar. So it was just simply adapting. And I was very impressed with how Emilio was able to play. Emilio wanted to become a professional guitarist. And the poor mother said, Emilio, nunca vas a ganar dinero con eso. but it's interesting that... So I started playing really seriously. But I also spent a lot of time reading. Because I didn't have classes and I was skipping out. I was skipping a semester. And I was going to have to make that up the following year in Texas. Because you see, I needed to graduate from the university the following year. And by missing a complete semester, I lost the opportunity of accumulating 15 credits towards the 120 credits that I needed to graduate. But nevertheless, I took good, really good advantage of that, those 5 months, February, March, April, May, and June, or half of June, let's say 4.5 months that I spent in Madrid. And I went all around, but I continued traveling, by the way. I continued hitchhiking with girls. I went to Portugal. I went all over Spain. In fact, by the time I left Spain to return to the United States to finish my degree, in the middle of June 1973, I had been to every province in Spain. There are 50 provinces in Spain, plus the autonomous cities of Ceuta and Melilla. And by the time after 10 months in Spain, I had been to every single province except 4. I had not been to Asturias. I hadn't been to Murcia. I hadn't been to the Canary Islands, nor to the Balearic Islands. Those were the only ones. I'd been to all the rest. I had been to all 8 provinces in Andalusia. You know, Huelva, Cadiz, Seville, Malaga, Cordoba, Granada, Jaén, and Almeria. I had been to every province in Valencia, of course, which was Alicante, Valencia, and Castellón. I had been to the 4 provinces in Galicia, Lugo, Orense, Pontevedra, and Coruña. Well, to all. And I had been to Álava, and to Guipúzcoa, and to... I traveled a lot. And then during that second semester, I spent a lot of time reading, voraciously reading and playing the guitar, and going out, sometimes with Tati, sometimes with the girl. But it was funny because later, many, many years later, Tati told me, she said, when my mother met you and got to know you, she warned me, she told me, not to go out, not to start a relationship. She said, ni se te ocurra salir con este chico. Acabarás en Texas. Y nunca te volveré a ver. Okay. But I'm not sure if that was the reason. But we went out together a few times just out of courtesy, but not nothing serious. But the problem is I was also involved in another relationship. So I wasn't looking for a new relationship or anything. And so it was friends. We were friends. And that was it. But if I had not had a relationship at that time, I think we would have ended up together. But I was only 21 and she was 18. So we were a little bit too young. And me, I'm not in favor of long engagements. Noviazgos de 10 años, no. No, thank you. Long engagements. Later, when I got married at the end of 1977, in December. December 30th, 1977. Strange time of the year to get married in Spain. But I always do things differently from the rest. Very different. Siempre elijo el camino menos transitado en la vida. All right. Crazy things. The first time I went out with my future wife was in February 1977, and we got married in December. So we were, let's say, and it didn't become serious until April 1977. So really, my noviazgo, formal, let's say, was between April and December 1977. And with Tati, 4 years before, or 5 years before, I was 21 and she was 18. And I already realized that in Spain, the engagements were very long. Llevan 12 años de novios y ahora se casan. At age 29 or age 31. And I said, no way. And so she was too young and I was too young to start a truly serious relationship. And besides, I was planning, of course, to return to the States in June. And so I knew that I would not see her again, maybe ever. And so it was probably not good to start a relationship with somebody with whom I could easily fall in love. And so you need to watch that. But I spent my time. I also went to the Fundación Ortega Gasset. Today it's called La Fundación Ortega Gasset y Marañón, ¿no? Y Gregorio Marañón. At that time, it was just the Fundación Ortega Gasset. And I took a course in Español Coloquial. Yes, it was a good teacher. I enjoyed it. Español Coloquial. All right. And I spent a lot of time on the metro and on the bus, and I consolidated my mastery of Spanish. However, it took me longer to understand television and understand in the movies. By March 1973, after spending 6 months in Madrid, I was able to understand 95% of everybody, everything. So my ear had become adapted to the Spanish way of speaking, and so I didn't have any problems. And after 1 month, Carmen, of course, had promised the bedroom to another person, so I had to leave. But she organized that I could go to to the house of a Colombian family, Olga Mateus, curioso, pueblo portugués, Olga Mateus, and her three sons. She was also divorced, and they were a Colombian family. But they lived on Doctor Esquerdo. And so I had a room, I had a bedroom on, I think, Doctor Esquerdo 160 y algo, I don't remember, but maybe on the eighth floor, I think, on the octava planta, eighth floor, something like that. And my bedroom was located on the street. I mean, it was on the street side. It was piso exterior. And it was a problem for me because if you're familiar with Doctor Izquierdo Street, you know that it's just, you have Conde de Casal. Up there, of course, there was a lot of traffic in Madrid. And that traffic light in Conde de Casal with cars waiting to go up Doctor Izquierdo, under my window, they go, and at that moment, just before they changed to third gear, they were at where my window was. And so I had it right outside my window. But in any case, I enjoyed those 4 months with the, or 3.5 months with the Colombian family. I have very good memories, and I continued eating in Risol sometimes, because I was familiar with it, but I began to try different restaurants. And finally, in June 1973, my parents came to Spain because I needed to return. And so they decided to come to visit me in Madrid. And together, my parents and I took a trip to Europe. But I'll come back another day with that. Take care.